Gentlemen, mute your phone and put it on the table. Okay.
Good evening, afternoon, whatever way you talk about it, and everybody is welcome. So, we're starting with the Parasha of Bereshit, section 6, the phrase, let there be a firmament. And we're starting, we've read the verses up to 55, and we're starting with verse 56. And before we start, we do a L'shem Yehud, which is a paragraph, we say, in the Hebrew letters, basically aligns our consciousness to unification, to being in union with it, all of creation. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Urchimu Udchilu Li'achta Shem Yud He Vav He V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Havdalah B'Motzai Shabbat Beni Nun D'Shalitin V'Yom Echol L'Shabbat V'Kad Nafek Shabbat Sal kami gehinon, chad sitra me'ena, isha deva'er, deva'ah, l'shalta'ah, v'shata'ah, di'amrin Yisrael. V'ma'ase yadeinu, konena aleinu, v'nafek me'ahu, Dar God Ikre Shabala Uvae Leet Arba Bezara Israel Shalta Alaihu Israel. And just so you understand why I read the Aramaic verses, because the energy is in the Hebrew letters, and we're doing this not for the information. Although we do read the English translation to get the information at the level where we can understand, but we read the Aramaic for the purposes of drawing the metaphysical energy that is inherent in the letters. The Havdalah, which is the prayer of separation, that is performed at the end of Shabbat, is for the purpose of separating those powers. Excuse me. That are dominant during the days of the week from the holiness that is dominant during Shabbat. With the ending of Shabbat, one aspect of Gehinnom appears. Gehinnom is hell. It is the evil eye that desires to govern the world, just as the children of Israel recite, O prosper it, the work of our hands. It emerges from that grade of the other side, which is called the left, and wishes to mingle with the seed of Israel by taking control over the Holy Covenant and having power to punish Israel. Questions?
My immediate question is, who is the left? Well,
desire to receive is the left.
Okay.
Now, there can be a desire to receive for oneself alone. That's further left.
Yeah.
There is desire to receive in order to share. And that's the right side of the left.
Okay.
But that doesn't help you understand this verse. It's saying that the evil eye comes out. It gets activated as the Shabbat ends. If you don't separate by doing the Havdalah ceremony, the ritual, then the evil eye is attaching itself to you as a soul of Israel, as a child of Israel.
So does that mean that there are people that are a child of Israel?
Remember what we spoke about yesterday, that you are who you hate? So it just is an indication. There are people who are more corrected, not yet complete, and there are people who are less corrected, also further from being completed. If you were given a task to slow the process of correction, where would you put your energy? What would you attack? Those who are closer to completion or those who are further away from completion? No. No. The Satan attacks those who are further, closer to completion.
Because I do know that when you get close to your goal, that's when you get
That's when you get the problem.
You know you're close.
Yes.
When you're not getting the biggest blessing in your life, that's when you...
But have all kinds of chaos.
Chaos. There you go. Thank you.
Exactly.
Hello.
And that's what this is saying. It's attaching Israel because the children of Israel are more closer to completion.
On the highest one of the ladder.
Correct. Any other questions?
Yeah, would you like the water? And I'll go get
you. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Would it be worse for someone who is celebrating the Shabbat?
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Is that normal?
Yes. Because when you are connected to Shabbat, you're drawing the light of Shabbat. That light is supposed to, your task is to bring it into the world. Now, we're not talking about the illusion, we're talking about reality. So you bring this light down, and if you don't separate it, there's more energy for the negative system to attach itself to. So it would be worse for someone who celebrates but doesn't do the Havdalah. But you also have to keep in mind that the important precepts is to keep Shabbat, to celebrate Shabbat. And if you don't do the Havdalah, there's a form of justice and mercy in the world. So when you first start to keep Shabbat, or to return to keep Shabbat if you were raised in a religious mode, and now you're coming to do it from a spiritual frame, and if you don't do Havdalah, you know, for the first few years, you're not going to feel that problem. But eventually it will catch up with you. And if you're listening to your soul, who's constantly yelling at you, but we don't hear it, it will tell you to start to do Havdalah. Or you'll get a wake-up call like I did. Verse 57. We Israel love day, Ovada Bechadas, Uvyayim V'yamre, Havdalah V'it. I've already done this. Ve'itarash minehu umayichahu sidra v'al v'dukeya v'ashol atar dekora v'siyateya taman tiki v'yerdu heim v'kal asher lahem chayim she'olavim La nachatu tamanad yavde Yisrael havdalah minchon diktiv ibadlu mitoch ha'eda v'gomer. While the children of Israel perform an action, a precept using the myrtle, which is the Hebrew word hadas, and the wine, and recite the Havdalah, the prayer of separation, the other side departs from them. That side is lowered and enters into its place in Sheol, in the place where Korach and his company are, as it is written. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into Sheol. So Korach and his company did not go down to Gate Hinnom until Israel separated from them. As it is written, separate yourself from amongst the congregation. Here as well, the other side does not go to Gate Hinnom at the ending of Shabbat before Israel performs the Havdalah. We did read this yesterday, but
yes.
It's always, there's no mistakes in the world.
Right.
It's an indication I needed the energy. So, any questions? Okay, we have discussed it yesterday. Verse 58. Ulolam havdala asheni di usemala b'sheruta v'tupa v'ruta b'intar shemala v'machloket ad la shavete b'inyacha v'iv b're b'ya ge'ino k'denit b'riyu kol inun malachim Dekat regei lemarechon leila v'yakel lon nura v'itokdu u'kein kol she'ar inun demit batle v'leit lon ki u'ma v'itakalu v'nura kegegavna Da horach l'tata, wikola kegavna da. So the Havdalah, the separation, is always done on the second day, which is the left column. This refers to what has already been explained, that even the Havdalah at the ending of Shabbat is intended to separate the other side that extends from the left column. It was at the beginning of the dispute, which was aroused by the aggressiveness and the anger of the left, before it was calmed down and quieted, that Gehinnom was created. Then were created all these angels that denounced before the Holy One, blessed be He, their master, above the secret of the central column. They disagreed with his reconciliation and deviate to the left. Therefore, fire burns them up, and they are consumed. And the other angels, all those who are annulled and have no support, are burned in the fire. All these have come from the power of the fire of the dispute in the beginning on the second day. Similarly, Korach fell down into Gate Hinnom and burned, just like those angels who burned in the fire of the river of fire. And everything follows the same manner, extending from the beginning of this dispute with the fire of anger. Questions? Comments? Gate Hinnom is created out of anger. If you never get angry, there is no hell in your life. There is no hell
in your life
in your
if you
life.
Don't get angry.
If you don't get angry.
I have to
go. Hell is a better world than this one.
Wow.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, why? I said, wow, but why? Yes.
Because in this world, you have illusion. You don't see the reason why you have chaos. It was from last lifetime where you hurt somebody, and now it comes back to you in this lifetime. You can't. Well, you can know, but we don't see it. We don't know why things happen to us. But in hell, you're very much aware. You're cleansing. This world is cleansing. That's what the chaos is. But you don't know why. In hell, you have the same cleansing, but you know why. That's why it's a better world.
But in that anger, at the same time, too, especially with the binding and striking, it's like, okay, I feel I'm entitled to something, and I'm not getting it.
What are you entitled to?
I don't know, but it's a different kind of choice.
You're not entitled to anything.
Of course not, but that anger comes from feeling it.
So your anger comes from your ego.
From the ego, from total illusion.
And what separates you from the Creator? The ego. So anger is an effect of your feeling important. What, however you want to describe the ego. But when you get angry, what actually happens is your neshama, your higher level soul that's in the body, leaves. And there is no place where there's empty space in this world. So when your soul leaves, there's another neshama from the negative system that comes and takes over your body. And it does what it does, and now you have the effect of all of that chaos that it created for you.
Sure.
So the point is, don't get angry under any circumstances. Now, how do you control that? It is different for each person. But it starts with recognizing that when somebody is doing something that upsets you, that's a great opportunity to stop the anger, to stop the reaction. That person is making a gift to you, giving you a gift, which is the opportunity to not get angry. The astrological influences in the world, as we know, the moon creates the tides, right?
Right.
So all of the astrological items, planets and stars, affect every person in different ways. But what essentially that does is it's moving you, it's causing you to make a decision to go here or go there. And where here or there is where you will meet people that you need to exchange energy with, or that you need to interact with in some way to balance the universe, to balance what you did in previous lives, to balance what you did in this life. That's the purpose of astrology. So when somebody, you go into a room and there's three people there that you've had bad experiences with, and they start screaming at you, you're going to have a reaction. Some people will react by running away. Some people will react by diving under the desk. Some people will start screaming back. Some people will haul off and hit the three people. Everybody is different. But the reaction, the whole point of being in that room, in that situation, is a cleansing. And you have the opportunity to stop the reaction. And that's a gift. Verse 59. Yehi rakia ipashashitu da minda el katva yamina el gadol ipashashitu mingoi maya yoli ishtalama shema dael ulit kalala. Behahu peshitu da bedava it pashat mel elokim kiyam elaine it pashatu wheat hapaku lemechewe main tata in yema hahu peshitu. Deit pashat v'sheni, mayin ilayin, hayam ze hayam, gadol hayam miyayin, ilayin hapoka, deilein atvan, yemamayin tamatatayin, kewan deitaknu, itavidu, kolab kalala Ada ve'it pashat, shema da bekama dukte. Let there be a firmament. It tells us that an expansion has occurred between the two. The lower waters expanded and were separated from the upper waters. And the upper waters expanded and were separated from the lower waters by the firmament. The letters Aleph Lamed El in the name Elohim, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, from the firmament up are of the right part. In other words, El always alludes to the name of Chesed, which is the right side. The name Great El has expanded from within the waters of Bina and is separated from them. This means that because of the firmament, the great name Great El has spread upward and has separated itself from the other waters, namely the three letters, He, Yud, Mem. This was to complete the name El and to include the upper and lower waters within each other. Through that expansion, and the name El of Elohim expanded, leaving only the three letters He Yud Mem. He Yud Mem then expanded down below the firmament and became the lower waters, Yud Mem He. This is the expansion into the second one, that is He Yud Mem into Yud Mem He. The upper waters are He Yud Mem. As written, so is this great and wide sea, Hayam, He Yud Mem. Thus, He Yud Mem is the upper waters. And if the letters He Yud Mem are reversed order, that is Yud Mem He, this indicates they are lower waters. Once the letters Yud Mem He were restored, they ascended and rose above the firmament and joined the great name Great El, and returned to the combination of the Great Sea, the Hebrew word is Hayam, which has He Yud Mem. Then everyone, El and He Yud Mem, were united as one, resulting in one name, Elohim. And this name, Elohim, reached into many places. Comments, questions, answers.
What confuses me, during upper waters and lower waters.
Okay.
What they trying to say, but...
Well, in the Torah, it says in the second verse, or not the second verse, but the second day, that Elohim created the firmament to divide the upper waters from the lower waters. Now, lower waters, for most people, the interpretation of lower waters is the seas, the oceans.
And smaller body.
Right, and for upper waters, excuse me, it's a reaction I have from my pills. The upper waters is typically considered the atmosphere, except that when you were a kid and I was a kid, we were taught the evaporation cycle, and that the oceans evaporated and the water went into the atmosphere and created
clouds,
and the clouds would then come over the land and drop as rain. The water would drop as rain, correct? Except that the modern science has made the calculation, and it is absolutely impossible that there can be enough evaporation for all the rain that comes. And so what they've determined is that there is something called meteors in space that are mostly water and ice. And when it burns up in the atmosphere as it hits the Earth, it's adding to our supply of water constantly. And they've determined that there's a difference in the molecular structure between the upper waters and the lower waters, which is what this verse is describing. The difference between Yud He Mem and He Yud Mem.
That's the chemical composition.
Well, it's a molecular level. They take pictures of the crystal structure of the water, and it's a very different structure, although essentially every ice crystal is different. There is a significant difference in purity of the water below the lower waters and the upper waters. So today, people are learning and then discussing that the upper waters are literally the amount of the water that's in the outer space as in the form of ice and meteors and so forth. And surrounding the solar system, there's the Oort clouds, which are just a huge volume of water.
I'm curious, when describing creation, is there any description of the creation of those meteors in space?
Yeah, it says the upper waters. It's a code word. What are upper waters? You either perceive it that the Earth is centered around, and we are the Earth, and therefore it's the upper waters is the atmosphere. Is there water in air? Yes. It's a part of the components of air. You have, just feel the humidity in the air, right? What is the humidity? It's water. So, or you can realize that there's a larger frame of reference, which is outer space, and so the water is the ice in the various meteorites. And the amount of volume estimated in the Oort clouds are something like 7 times the volume of water on the Earth. But there is a difference in the chemical nature, the molecular nature of water, and the discussion is that changed when Noah's flood occurred. Because Noah's flood was not a normal flood. It was actually boiling water, and it burned. And
Great Flood?
The Great Flood. And the essence of that Great Flood caused, because you were using water, which is essentially the energy of loving kindness, as a destructive force, it affected the water, and it was no longer as pure, as capable of true loving kindness. But we don't understand that, we don't realize that, and in our world, water is water and it's loving kindness. But there's a difference in waters, as you know, we use living waters in a mikveh. What is living waters? Why would we call it living waters?
Creek or
stone from running water, or from rain, or from springs that rise up from the earth. And each of these sources has different energy. And those people who are sensitive to energy will attest to that when they go into these different forms.
What's the nature of the water in the blue hole?
What is a blue hole?
A blue hole is what appears to be a pond.
Mm-hmm.
But it has no bottom.
No, they do have bottoms, but the bottoms cannot be seen from the surface.
Well, they can't.
They measure them. I saw a video now that you're mm-hmm. describing what it is. I saw a video of all like 20 different blue holes, different aspects, and the video essentially said this one is 66 feet deep, and this one is 600 feet deep,
right.
And this one is 2,000 feet deep. So they do have a bottom.
Yeah, I mean, we had a property on Green Turtle Key a long time ago, and it contained a blue hole, but ultimately it was so deep that it connected to the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And came salty.
But at the top, it wasn't salty.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, literally the thing was a couple thousand feet deep,
right.
And it connected to the ocean.
Oh, the answer is I have not read anything or heard anything from the scientific world about what it is. There's discussions going on, and there are theories, but there's no consensus. But Kabbalistically, the water is flowing from the surface to the interior, which is an indication that the inner earth, which is the gravity, which is the desire to receive for oneself alone, is being cleansed. And that's Kabbalistically what we would say.
And it comes that water policy.
I just remember
the essence of water is loving kindness. It's chesed, the sephirah of chesed. So that's the memory it has. It's always connected to that. And water is a code word in the Torah, for wisdom. Because we can't reveal wisdom in this world without it being veiled in a garment of chesed, of loving kindness. So anytime you treat somebody with judgment, you are not revealing wisdom in any shape or form, because judgment is not love. And this is all part of what the Tree of Life teaches us when we start to study it.
Water is in another form, like in a hurricane, like type of. It's not loving kindness.
No, it's not. It's an activation of the same energy of the love as the flood. We're using water, we're using love to create destruction. And that's. But that doesn't happen except that the places where it hits and where it destroys need that cleansing. But people don't want to accept that. They don't want to understand that. It's a natural event, natural disaster. They don't understand that we as human beings create that natural disaster. We create the earthquakes. We create the hurricanes. We create the tsunamis. We create the monsoons. Human activity creates weather.
Forest fire.
Same thing.
People want to locate in this beautiful place, happens to be in the middle of a forest that's got to burn once in a while.
And it's healthy for it to burn.
Recycle.
But human beings interrupt that process.
Right.
And so the fires, they didn't. If you don't have the fires in the forest, you know, in smaller levels, they grow into bigger levels. Confusing?
Yes.
Remember what we said yesterday.
Yeah.
Everything is your mirror.
Right.
So there's no such thing as a coincidence. And there's no such thing as a natural occurrence that wasn't caused by human beings. Science teaches us that in the formation of the world, the mountains were created in large movements of the earth. But there was no people to manifest those large movements. So the mountains were created 1 inch or a half an inch a year. Slow, steady growth. There was no need for the chaos of an earthquake or an upheaval or a volcano eruption. We need to learn to accept our responsibility for those things. And that's why you have these natural disasters happening. And in our modern world, you have countries sending support for the people who've gotten hurt. You know, the Israelis send a whole contingent of people, and the Americans send to the Red Cross, and all of these organizations providing help to people that they don't know. Why do people do it? Well, it's a nice thing to do. It makes some people feel good. But ultimately, it's done because our souls know that we caused it. and it's part of our responsibility to take care of these people. They had to have this cleansing. It's not easy to go through an earthquake where you lose everything, or a fire where you lose everything.
Or a flood.
Or a flood. But still, it's our souls know this, and so we do things to help ourselves, to help balance it. The main point that we're teaching in Kabbalah is this world is an illusion. And stop looking at the illusion for your answers. Always look for the spiritual cause. Because there is no physical thing that is a cause.
Right.
But science is measuring physical causes. And eventually what they do today is they reach a point where they say, we can't really know, we can't go any further because it's metaphysical. But Kabbalah has always talked in terms of the metaphysical. And it has always talked in terms of spiritual cause. And that's the message that has to be gotten across to people.
Much easier to see in hindsight. I mean, I went through a flood. I experienced a flood.
God forbid.
And, well, I did.
Yes, but God
but
forbid.
I understand. It
shouldn't happen again.
I now, having sat here and listened to that, I completely understand what I did to cause that.
Okay. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah.
From our class last Sunday of Teshuvah, that's something you can do, Teshuvah, and everything that you lost will be returned to you. It's as if it would never have happened. Trying to see where I am again. Okay. Well, this is the last verse. Ma'in ilayin zikurin of ma'in tatayin nuvin v'kad me'a ha'wo ma'in v'ma'in adit v'rashu v'ishtamoda ma'in ilayin with Tatayin, Da Elohim, with Adonai, Vida He, Ila'a, Wehai, Wehe Tata, Makati Vayash, Elohim, Et Harakia, Id Pashtuta, Tanatal Shemada, Elohim, Mayim. Ilahin umayim, tatayin adonai, uim kolda, kewan de ishtal yemu, mayim tekurin, the mayim tufin, shema de lokim, it pashat the kola. The upper waters are males, the lower waters are females. At first, before they were firmly established, they were mixed, but were later separated to distinguish the upper waters from the lower waters, and to differentiate them. One is called Elohim, which is Bina, and the other is called Adonai, which is Malchut. One is the upper He of the name Yud-He-Vav-He, which is Bina, and the other is the lower He of the name Yud-He-Vav-He, which is Malchut. As it is written, and Elohim made the firmament. This expansion assumes the name Elohim, or the verse, and Elohim made indicates that the expansion of Hey Yud Mem returned back to El and merged into the name Elohim and the upper waters. For the name Elohim is the upper waters, and the name Adonai, the feminine principle of Zeron Pin, is the female waters. Nevertheless, since the male waters or the letters He, Yud, Mem were completed only by the female waters, namely the feminine principle of Zeron Pin, the name Elohim expanded everywhere, including the female waters. Whenever you hear male, you're talking about sharing. whenever you hear female, you're talking about receiving. So what happens to the meteors that are male waters? They hit the earth, they burn up, but essentially they're sharing. What happens to the female waters, which is
the seas?
The seas, they're receiving. They get rained upon. That's what a monsoon is. That's what a hurricane is. Although it's destructive when it hits land, it's essentially, you know, the rain is a sharing. It's a male water. Any questions? We'll be here again tomorrow at 7:30. And